You're listening to Living Stones Community Church Podcast. For more information about Living Stones, just check out our website at lsccc.com. Have a great day. God bless.
Have you copied scripture? How many of you, just kind of begin with a question, how many of you have ever lost something? Anybody? Yeah, it's like a daily basis for me these days. It seems like either your keys or your phone. One day, not too long ago, I got a call from Jana and with the report that one of our sons, while he was at school, got his phone stolen. And so I remember the immediate thing I do, and it was an iPhone, so they have this real neat app that you just go there and you can find my iPhone app, and it will tell you where it is. Trouble is, this certain son didn't get that set up on his phone, and so that didn't work. So we went to, I think Adam went with me, we went to the high school and to see if they happened to have cameras there in the lunchroom where he thought it was stolen, and so it wasn't. Of course, he ate in the only place in the cafeteria where there's no camera, and so that's the way it always works. And so we filled out some paperwork filled out a police report since it was stolen and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the next day he got to buy another phone with his own money. And so I just hate it when I lose something or when one of my family members loses something. I just hate that. And so this morning we're talking about losing something, about recovering something that you've lost. And specifically going to be talking with Christians this morning, the followers of Christ, because there's a good chance this morning that somewhere along the way, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you've lost something. But it's not like an iPhone or keys, but you've lost something spiritual. It's something spiritual in nature, meaning that you may have lost a passion for God or the things of God that you used to have, but you don't have today. And so some of you have lost your joy, and there used to be this deep, settled sense of spiritual contentment and joy that's not there anymore, and you're not sure how you lost it. At one time, you had great faith, and you prayed, you believed God for big things. You passionately believed in that He had a plan and a purpose for your life, but it seems to have faded, and so it's not there. That passion for God and the things of God isn't what it used to be. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, man, I've been there before. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the prophet Elisha. And week one, and I invite you to go back and listen to the podcast, we talked about burning plows. Week two, we talked about digging ditches. Last week, we talked about gathering jars. And today, we're going to look at one of the most unbelievable miracles that he performed. Other than Jesus, he had more recorded miracles than anyone else. And there was, he did some really big stuff. God gave him the power to do miracles. He raised a boy from the dead. There was a time when he healed a body of water, which saved the community. He provided for a widow who would have lost her two sons after her husband died. He healed a man of leprosy. He blinded an entire army to move forward with things of God in battle. He did all these significant things, and today we're going to look at another miracle that basically involves kind of a seminary student who one day borrowed a piece of equipment to chop down a tree, and as he did, the axe head flew off in the water, and we're going to see Elisha take a stick and throw it in the water, and the axe head made of iron will float it to the top, and it's really a cool story, but there's some significant things about it that I want us to see before we actually get into the story. One thing you need to know is that iron back then was a very valuable commodity. It was hard to come by. And so this younger guy, this seminary student who lost the axe head was very likely very poor. He was going to profit college, but he was kind of a non-profit prophet at this time, meaning that he was living on student loans and eating ramen noodles. Anybody doing that right now? Yeah. It rocks, doesn't it? Yeah. There's no way he could have paid it back. So that's the first thing I want you to see. The second thing is that when he loses the axe head, we'll see that he goes to the man of God, Elisha. And to me, that's a picture of God who actually cares about the little details of our life, that no matter what we're going through, if you have a headache, God cares. If your car won't start, God cares. If your little baby cries all night long, God cares about that. If you got a chemistry test, God cares. He wants you to study, though, okay? Students, look at me right. He wants you to study. I don't know how many of y'all ever have prayed that, God, just give me total recall. You hadn't studied a lick. You know, yeah. You know, you need to study. When you can't find the remote, God laughs, but he cares. And with that said, let's kind of dive into the story. We're going to see some other takeaways and principles this morning. Remember that Elisha was mentored by Elijah, and now we see Elisha mentoring the next generation of young prophets. See, in fact, he literally built a school for prophets where these guys would come in. It wasn't very long before they actually outgrew the school, and so that's kind of where we pick up the story. They're going to clear some land to build a new school. In 2 Kings 6, starting in verse 1, it says this: the company of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole and let us build a place for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of the students said, "Why don't you come with us?" And Elisha said, "Sure." And he went with them. And they went down to the Jordan. They began to cut down trees. And here's where the action begins to take place. Don't miss this. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he immediately said, "Oh, no, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" Then he showed Elisha the place. And Elisha cut a stick, threw it in the water, and it made the iron float. And he told the young man, "Lift it out." So the man reached out and he took it. Now watch this. But beside God caring about the little things that are in our life, there's another major point that I want us to get, and we're going to refer to it time and time again throughout this message this morning. It's this: not only does God care about the little things, but watch this, God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. That those of you that lost something spiritual in nature, but be reminded that we serve a God who is very much into restoration. Our God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. And I believe there's some applications that we can apply to our life that will help us get back to where we once were with God. But to get there, we need to answer a big question this morning before we go any further. And this, here's the question: How have you lost your spiritual edge? How have you lost your spirit? And remember, I'm speaking primarily to Christ followers at this point. And so I want you to get real honest as you consider this question: how have I lost my spiritual edge? And there may be some of you that may say, "I haven't." And if that's you, I celebrate and rejoice with you. I thank God for that. And I pray that you continue to do what you're doing to keep your spiritual passion high. But my guess is this morning, for many of you, there was another time in your life when you were more into the things of God than you are today. And so I would ask you for you to acknowledge and specifically and honestly answer this question: how have I lost my spiritual edge? And as you ask that, God's going to begin to reveal that to you. For some of you, you might recognize that there was a time when you had you surrounded yourselves with committed Christ followers that were around you, and they built you up, and they prayed for you, and they encouraged you in the things that matter the most. But when you look around now, you may still have some Christian friends, but they're not the type that are building you up and encouraging you in the things of God. And because of that, you lost your spiritual edge. For others, there was a time when you served in a ministry at a church, and you remember the thrill of being used by God and making difference in people's lives through your giftings. And though those times were hard times, I mean, there's times when you're working in ministry and stuff where it's difficult, but they're fulfilling times. But then you got busy. You let things come up in your life in the way that got in the way of serving God. And so slowly you began to drift away, thinking that one thing, you'd get active again, but you never did. And so now there's something missing. You tasted of what it was like to be used by God, but now life is pretty much centered around you. As a result, you feel empty. For others, there was a time when you had a passion for prayer or for sharing your faith with other people that were outside the family of God, but something happened and now your mind never tends to go and think about the spiritual condition of the people that are all around you. So how have you lost your spiritual edge? Some of you, when you're really honest, might notice that your standards have eroded. That there was a time when you had strong biblical standards and you were ultra sensitive to doing and not doing certain things because you wanted to honor God with your life. You wanted to be a clean vessel for God to use, but something happened. And so little by little, you began to compromise. You began to take shortcuts. Now you wake up and you wonder, how in the world did I get where I am right now? How have you lost your spiritual edge? The reality is that it can happen to any one of us because we have a spiritual enemy whose mission is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to the heart of God. And so you didn't mean to lose your edge, but you did. You didn't mean to fall back into the old patterns and become addicted again, but you did. You didn't mean to drift away from the love and the intimacy with God, but you did. You didn't mean to end up pursuing the emptiness of material possessions, but if you were honest, you realized that's exactly what you did. You didn't mean to become a part-time follower of Jesus, but that's exactly what happened, and you've lost your spiritual edge. So how do you get it back? How do you get your edge back once you've stopped it? Symbolically, in this story of Elisha and the young prophet, there's two applications that I think will help us get our edge back. The first one, if you're taking notes, is this, and it's on the back of your handout, is that we need to be honest about where we lost it. We need to be honest about where you lost your edge. Elisha says, where did it fall? In other words, that the axe head isn't gone. It's just where you left it. So where did it fall? And so how that relates to us is where did you start to lose your spiritual edge? Because I believe if you look back, you can probably remember where you took the wrong turn. Maybe it was when you began to hang around the wrong friends. Maybe it's when you began dating that person that took you down. Or maybe it's when you dropped the discipline of daily getting into the Word and praying. You used to be devoted to that, but you're not anymore. Maybe it's when you stopped tithing and giving it, and you kind of got behind and then you stopped. And now you wonder where you've lost the joy of worshiping God and trusting Him in that way. You used to, but you stopped. Maybe you got hurt by a fellow church member, maybe by the minister at a church someplace, and they said something to you or did something that offended you, and you're sitting there thinking, dude, if I want to be treated like this, I can be treated like that out in the world. Forget this mess. So you end up isolating yourself from the very ones that God has placed in your life to sharpen and to strengthen and to grow you. So you begun to blame God for what someone else did. First, be honest about where and why you lost it. Secondly, with God's help, take back what you lost. Take back what you lost with God's help. Because our God specializes in helping us find what we didn't mean to lose. You see, in verses 6 and 7, Elisha asked him, where did you lose it? And then he made the iron float, and he told the young man, just lift it out. And so with God's help, that says to us to take back what you lost. Now watch this. The underlying portion of that with God's help is very important, meaning that you can't do it on your own. For you to get your spiritual edge back will require you trusting God for help, and it will require taking some action on your part. We've seen throughout our study in Elisha, or in 1 Kings about Elisha, we've seen this throughout the study that, you know, 2 weeks ago we talked about digging ditches and we said only God can send the water, but sometimes He wants you to dig a ditch. Last week we said only God can multiply the oil, but He wants you to gather the jars. And this week we're saying only God can make an axe head float, but He wants you to lift it out. As he brings it back within your reach, he wants you to take back what you lost. Now listen to me. The moment you start to think that you can't do it, I promise you. The moment you think, well, Dan, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what I've done. The moment you begin to start thinking, I can't do it, I promise you, there will be another voice that says, you're right, you can't. You've done too much. You've waited too long. You've gone too far. You blew it. You'll never get back what you could have had. I had a conversation with a young girl this week, and I said, she was believing lies. I mean, she was just focusing on lies. And I said, you need to begin to start focusing on what is truth. And students, y'all need to hear this, especially you girls, because girls have a way of believing every little lie. There's all kind of image stuff going on right now, and you're believing what the enemy is saying through other people. You guys are vicious to one another. A lot of you learned it from your parents because you're vicious with each other. And so I was telling her, she had begun feeding on what other people had said. And it said, that's a flat lie. It's a lie. You're believing a lie. And every time you begin to start speaking a lie, you can mark it down. The enemy is singing harmony with you. His mission, steal, kill, destroy. And so it's your choice to begin to either focus on truth or to focus on the lies. And so that's why it's so important for you guys to get in the Word of God, to hear the truth, because you got lies all around you. You need to build each other up, encourage one another in the things of the Lord. That goes for us too. The enemy will always say, you'll never get back what you could have had. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, somebody here needs to hear this right now. With God, it's not too late. It's not too late to be the person you could have been, to get back what you thought you could never have, to have what you used to have and have even more of it. You haven't gone too far. You haven't done too much. Why? Because our God specializes in helping you find what you didn't mean to lose. And he's going to make it within reach. That's his part. What's your part? You've got to lift it out. You've got to go after it and get it. More specifically, you do what you can do, and you trust God for what you can't do. Say that with me. You do what you can. Come on, say it with me. You do what you can do, and you trust God to do what you can't do. You can't make an axe head float, but you can lift it out when it's within reach. Question, can you create your own spiritual passion and faith? No, we can't do that. But we do know how to build our faith. We do know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And so here's what you can do. You can place yourself in a place where you hear the teaching of God's Word so he can build your faith. And you don't let other commitments and priorities come in the way of that. You know that God hears and answers prayer, so you can choose to pray even when you don't feel like it. You can choose to worship even when you don't feel like it. And you can choose to share your faith with other people even when you don't know all the answers. You can search God again. And the Bible says that when you seek after me, you will find him. You will be found. He will be found. For those that seek, you take back what is available to you that's within your reach. It's a passage we talked about in men's group this week. And for guys, if you don't have anything to do, Wednesday nights at 6:30, we're in the middle of a study, and you can hop in at any time. I love the community that God's beginning to build in that. But I mentioned this verse. We were going here, Revelation 2. It'll be on the screen here in a minute, that Jesus is speaking to the church. Specifically, he was speaking to a church full of people who had lost their spiritual edge. And he made this statement. He says, you have forsaken the love you had at first. You've forsaken your first love. And he tells them, consider how far you've fallen. And then he tells them to repent. In other words, say you're sorry, turn back, come home, turn from your sin, turn from your apathy and your complacency, repent. And then he tells them to do what? Notice what he says. And then do the things you did at first. In other words, if you want what you once had, you've got to do what you once did. You do what you can do, and you trust God to do what you can't do. Go back and begin again to do what you did. I mean, you think about when you first met Jesus and your faith was so on fire. What did you do there? Man, you were spending time in the Word. You were spending time worshiping with other believers. Do what you first did. Get in His Word. Be on the lookout for those opportunities to share with the people that God puts in your path. As you begin to do those things, God will restore the passion and the joy of following Him. Because God specializes in helping us get back what we didn't mean to lose. Now watch this. Some of you have been bothered. Where did that iPhone go? That happened probably about 6 to 8 weeks before school was out. Last day of school, you know, you probably, I don't know if it happens at your house. This is what happens at our. We come home, the kids have their backpacks. They come home, and last day of school, and they throw, there's a stairs that go down to the basement. They just throw them on the landing down there. They just throw their backpack down there. And about mid-June, when Jana catches her breath from the school year and stuff, she'll go through there. And this son had said, I looked everywhere, and somebody stole it. And so Jana's doing the annual clean out the backpacks. That's pretty gross. I mean, you find a tuna fish sandwiches and chips and everything in there. Getting ready to wash the backpack, throw stuff away. And guess what she found? The iPhone. Keegan, come on. Work with me. Found the phone. And so he was able to sell the phone. Recoup all the money that he spent on the other phone. And it made it just a cool story just to say to you this. Our God is a God of restoration. For the things that we lose, our God can restore what was lost. The book of Joel says, there's a verse that I love. It says, He will help restore the years that the locusts have eaten. That's the wasted years of our life. Our God has the power to restore the years of wasted living. A Hebrew word for restore literally means to be made better than new. And I don't know specifically where this lands on you this morning. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're hurting. I don't know how you've drifted or how far you've gone. But I do know that our God wants you to know that you haven't gone too far. That you can be the person that you were meant to be, because our God specializes in helping those people find what they didn't mean to lose. Why? Because we serve a God who specializes in helping people find what they didn't mean to lose. Would you stand for prayer? Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a divine healing and work this morning in our lives. With our heads bowed, eyes closed. How many of you would say this morning, there was a time when I had it. There was a time when I had the passion. There was a time when I was experiencing the intimacy with God. There was a time when I cared more for the things of God than I do right now. If that's you, I used to, but I've lost that. Anybody just all across this room? Nobody looking around. All across, there's hands up over this room. You put them down. This morning, God wants to restore that back to you. He has the power and the ability to restore the years the enemy has wasted in your life. So what's your part? Repent, you turn from where you're going, and you turn about and you begin to do what you used to do. and you take it step by step. And as you do, the joy of serving and knowing the Lord will return to you. So, Father, I pray this morning, Father, for those that lifted their hands and those that don't, but God, this is their heart's desire. God, if when we just honestly say that I need you, God, I need you. I'm out here someplace I thought I'd never be. And God, I don't deserve your love. In my mind and everybody around me, I've gone too far. But I'm grateful, God, that you're a God of second chances and third chances. That you're a God of grace. So God, if God's tugging at your heart right now, don't ignore that. Take steps toward him. So, Father, I pray this moment that there would be divine spiritual breakthroughs. That you would soften hearts and bring healing. God, that you would heal memories. God, would you give us a desire and a power to begin again? God, there may be somebody here this morning that doesn't know you. All this has primarily been speaking to people that know you. But God, there may be somebody here this morning. I said, Dan, as you talk, I don't have a relationship with God. But I'd like one. I'd love one. So in your need, what separates you from God is your sin. All of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. And there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do to take care of that sin. There's nothing you can do. God's got to do it. And he sent his son. His blood was shed in order for your sin to be forgiven. So if that's you, just simply say, God, I ask that you come and forgive me of my sin. I give you my sin. You give me your forgiveness. What an exchange. God, I give my life to you. I want to follow you. And if that's you this morning, I just encourage you just to get in the Word of God, to speak with someone, either me or Adam or anyone around you that you know, and to say, hey, I began a relationship with God this morning. I want you to pray with me. I encourage you to get in the Word of God.